bless your heart. Good to see you, and glad you came. We had some nice refreshing rain, showers of blessings that God gives us all along the way. 696, let's stand and sing God Leads Us Along. 696. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow bathe the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in dark of night, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day. God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. It's in the night when God teaches us the most important lessons. Here we go on the last verse now.
Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great trial, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day.
Well, there are different seasons, and some of the seasons are night seasons, and we have extended our love and prayers to Fred Quayle and the family and the homegoing of Martha, and her funeral will be on Monday at 12, am I right on that? I think I'm right on that, at 12 o'clock, down at Deltona Memorial Funeral Home, and the viewing will be and visitation will be Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5. And so keep those in mind, and we'll remind you, of course, again on Sunday morning about that. If you need a prayer list, would you raise your hand if you need a prayer list? Anybody didn't get a prayer list? Some right down through here, Brother George, and anywhere else? All right. Over on this side mostly, I guess. There you go, Brother Ernie, right up there. Yeah, okay. Good to see you folks here with us tonight. Thank you for being here. Okay. Others right there? Were there any others right there needed one? Okay. All right. All right, you may be seated. And this comes from Ernie and Iggy Negron. Thank you to my family at the home place for the prayers and flowers and the loss of my father. Thank you also for your love and support in this time of need. And dark seasons and dark times. And Iggy, we've prayed for you. And I don't see you right now, but I saw Ernie. Oh, right here. Yeah, right here. God bless your heart, girl. And we love you and praying for you, of course, for the Quayle family. Gary Sherrill's here tonight. I thought he was going to surgery this week, but he's going Monday. Monday he's going to surgery on Monday, so we'll be much in prayer for that next surgery, that God will continue to give victory and give success in that. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope that you've come to worship the Lord, fellowship together with one another, enjoying being in the Lord's house, sing God's praise and hear God's word, and all those things we do when we get together. We sang a song many years ago, "I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people." And I like God's wonderful people here at the home place. It's good to see you. Had a good week this week. The conference was good in Knoxville. And I understand you all watched until we started walking through the first 27 verses. And whenever we started our walk, y'all walked out on us. Okay? All right. But that's all right. That's very good. Brother Mark, come share the prayer list with us, if you will.
Praying for our President Obama and all our government officials, praying for the peace of Israel and our missionaries serving the Middle East, praying for the upcoming elections in 2016. Good to have one of our members back, and I'm sorry for the occasion, but good to have Brother Fred Quayle back from Saudi Arabia. And Barbara Barron's daughter, Stephanie, fell and hit her head and back. She's having seizures now, but praise the Lord, no serious injuries, and please pray for Stephanie, if you will. Jim Crawford is recovering from the open-heart surgery, still at Sanford as of yesterday, and his wife is downstairs in the ICU, and they were dangerously close to amputating her legs, and she, at least one of her legs, and so the blood flow, she had surgery, she's doing better. And she's thanking God for your prayers. Please continue to pray for Sharon Crawford at this time. And she certainly appreciates that. Dorothy Kent requests prayer for Jeff Bender, his wife with cancer. And Ray Procius will have surgery tomorrow at Florida South. Pray for Brother Ray, if you will. Pam Fisher requests prayer for Anna and Stan Hercog. And Pastor mentioned about Gary Sherrill having surgery on Monday at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. And so please be in prayer about that, for that Monday surgery. Continue to pray for Brian, still not doing good at all from that gunshot wound. And we have listed here, to make it easier for everyone, the funeral arrangements and the viewing that Pastor mentioned there at Delton Memorial for Martha Quayle. And so please keep that before you. And I know our church family is a real blessing to folks at this time. So if you would just pray much for Brother Fred and Brian, the girls, and each one. Pray for our teens going to camp this summer. And we've said a lot about that in previous weeks. I can't put a value on this. I really can't. Teenagers getting away from their friends and their normal environment, getting away from worldly influences and things like that, and having tremendous doses of the Word of God and Christian fellowship, and it's amazing what God does in hearts of teenagers, and I remember it well, and I encourage you. I'll just say this: as a youth pastor, when I was a youth pastor, I told our parents, I told them, I said, "Now I'm not telling you how to parent, but I'm telling you what I would do if I were in your shoes. Your teenagers should not have a choice. They go to school because they're supposed to go to school, and they ought to go to camp because they're supposed to go to camp, and you ought not give them a choice." And I, as a youth pastor, I saw teenagers getting on the bus mad as a wet hen. I mean, you talk about attitude, you know, minus, minus, minus. And those same teenagers, I think of this one Blevins boy, and he got on, and he had red hair and the temper to match. And Hope will tell you, on the way home, he was the one who got on the bus leading the songs, because God had done a wonderful work in his heart and life. So I encourage you, please pray much about this. Continue to remember in prayer Mark Fleming, and we're thanking God for the work that God's doing in his body, and he's watching by way of live stream during this flu season. He visits some churches when he can, as he needs to, as a missionary and things, but with all the coughing going on and things, the doctor just tells him, please stay out of harm's way for a few more weeks. So pray for Brother Mark. It's good to see Nancy here. Mary Butler is in a nursing home in Castleberry. Jean Ann Godby, Lydia Buck, Rod Mills, Gary Sherrill, and we're continuing to rejoice and we're praying about this surgery. Rick Elkins, David Goss, Wesley Perry, Stacy Libby's father, Carol Alderman, Alicia Robles, Lou Sukup's neighbor Daryl, Stephen Van Ravensway, and Rusty Chakowski's father. And praying for Cynthia Castillo, one of our missionaries in Mexico. If you look her up on our little TV missionary monitor back there, you can see a video that she has on there. A lot of our missionaries have a video that you can watch and update and letters and that kind of thing. But she's probably one of the first ones, Brother Don, that had a video on our system back there, and it's just wonderful to see what God's doing. The Steve Cerna family in El Salvador doing a marvelous job for the Lord, and praying for these two missionary families. In the nursing home, praying for Mary Lou Seaver, Ann Sperry, Dot Daniels, Francis Edwards, Linda Rabbit's mother, Bill Gamble, and Rose Swainston. And these in the armed forces, and again, if a loved one is not listed in the armed forces list, please call that to our attention. We want to make sure and get that up to date. Thank you, Pastor.
We'll ask Brother Westbrook, if you will, Conrad, to come to the platform, lead us in prayer, and pray for these that are here before you, and others that you have on your heart, and just the requests all down through here, and so many in the armed forces, and so many that are sick and dealing with difficulties, all kinds of ways, but be much in prayer for one another. Others of you, I'm sure, have requests. If you have a request on your heart tonight, would you raise your hand? I know I do. And I pray that you'll bear one another up before the Lord and bear one another's burdens, the Word of God says, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
And so let's do that. Now, if after the service you would like to go by one of the ushers at the back, I think Brother Doyle Coy has these right now, but there's a website for Deltona Memorial Funeral Home, and it's deltonamemorialfuneralhome.com. That's what it is, all one word, Deltona Memorial Funeral Home. If you'd like to go on there, and they have a page on there for Martha, if you'd like to go on there and leave a little tribute for Martha Quayle, you can do that. It's interesting how funeral homes are doing that now, and I think it's a good thing. And if you need the little slip of paper to remember the address, he has a number of them Fred has brought tonight, make available to you if you'd like to. That way you'll have the address, you don't have to write it down, and you'll be able to go there and leave a word of encouragement and just a little tribute to Martha. And I know that would be a blessing to the family. I know that it would be. Brother Conrad, come lead us in prayer. We're thankful for what God is doing, just some absolutely marvelous things. A few years ago, as a church, we did something here in praying for Deltona High School. Not Deltona. We pray for Deltona too, but this was for Pine Ridge. We had some people in our church that were in Pine Ridge. There are 1,700 students in Pine Ridge, Pine Ridge High School, 1,700 students. And it was just kind of a desert area spiritually. And there were things that were really not good in the school and some difficult situations. And after, well, I guess maybe a little bit before you got here, they had started a little bit of the Bible Club, the FCA Club, in Pine Ridge. Now, I don't think it was this week, but last week, or sometime recently, Conrad can tell you exactly about that. They have I think it was the Monday after Easter. Monday after Easter. Maybe Easter was a good carryover for that. But on Monday after Easter, they had 170 kids in a Bible club.
Amen.
170 kids. That's 10% of the population of the school.
Amen.
It's just absolutely miraculous what has happened there and what the Lord has done. And in the beginning, the very beginning of the thing, some of you remember some of the football team came by here and gave testimonies because as a church we had sponsored them to FCA camp, the FCA football camp. And it was just wonderful what God is doing. So if you would just say a word about that, Conrad, and then lead us in prayer and ask God's blessing.
The Pine Ridge situation has been absolutely incredible. When I first got here, the club itself was very, very weak, but we had a coach that, Bob Gable, the head coach of the football team, who is very, very pro-FCA and had pushed to get the kids to camp, and church had a big part in getting them to the football camp. I think we had 9 kids that received Christ at football camp.
Amen.
That year. And I think we had 7 this past year. But when we got here, we began to work with that group, and it went from about 10 or 12, 18 coming to 20, 25, 35, 50. And by the end of the school year last year, we had 80 kids coming. I was like, let's not end school. This is too good. So we had 80 kids coming. I thought, well, can we ever see that happen again? Well, this fall, the first meeting we had 110 kids showed up. And it's just continued to grow. And God just blows me away every time I go down there. And it's nothing that I'm doing. It's just there to present the Word of God. And we've had great guys come in and share truth. And it's amazing to see those young people come in wanting to hear truth. And so that's a beautiful example of what God can do when He gets to work on a campus. And so we just pray for open doors on those campuses. And if you would just remember FCA and the work we're doing here in the county, that God would open those same doors in every school, on every campus, and just see a fire like that happen. Father, we thank You so much for Your great love for us. Lord, even today as I've thought about how we could never question that love, regardless of the situations that we go through in life, Lord, all we have to do is look back and see what You did on the cross for us. So we know You love us, Lord. Lord, as we've gone through this list tonight, we see again just the examples of how needy we are as a people. And Lord, I'm sure there would be so many on there that are on the prayer list that are going through difficult times that would praise You right now, even in the midst of the storm. I thank You for that and those testimonies. And Lord, for each request that's been lifted up, each request that is written down, each request that was brought in on our hearts, Father, we cast those at Your feet right now. Lord, You tell us to cast our care upon You, for You care for us. Lord, right now we come and we cast our burdens upon You. And we ask, Lord, that You would just do what You do in each situation, that You would meet each need according to Your perfect will. I pray for each person who's going through a storm right now, that You would give them the grace that's needed, Lord, they would feel Your presence, they would feel Your mercy upon their life. And I pray, Lord, even in the most tragic of situations, Father, that the Lord Jesus would be lifted up high and honored and glorified and praised. And we pray that, Lord, a multitude of people would come to faith in Your Son Jesus, even through these difficult times. Lord, thank You for the opportunity of being in Your house again tonight. Father, bless as we continue to lift up songs of praise. I pray You bless the preaching of Your Word. Prepare our hearts to receive, Lord, humbly, what You have for us tonight, and respond obediently, and we'll praise You for what You do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, that's wonderful, Brother Conner. Thank you so much, sir. 684. Precious Lord, take my hand. Let's stand together, please. 684.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. My hand, precious Lord, lead me my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
That's not a long song, just a short song. I want you to look at the bottom, right under the first page. Part of it's on the first page, part of it's on the next page. It says the text was written by a man named Thomas Dorsey. Now, some people remember a Tommy Dorsey band. Tommy Dorsey band. This is not that Tommy Dorsey. This Thomas Dorsey was a black preacher in the Chicago area. He traveled and preached. And he left his wife. She was not well, but she was okay to leave and go preach. And he left and went to preach. And while he was on his way, there was a message for him when he arrived at the place he was to preach. I'm not sure I have the exact story exactly right, but many of you have read this story. He got there and there was a note waiting for him that his wife had passed away. And on the way back, as he sat on the train, riding on the way back, he wrote, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home." Now, of course, the application that he had in mind but was home to heaven, but right then he was wanting to get back home. He wanted to get back to the house. Let's sing the first verse again, if you will, Brother Mark. "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on. Do we have folks visiting with us tonight that someone will introduce you? Introduce yourself? Anyone? Anyone visiting with us tonight? Well, whether you're introduced or not, we're delighted to have you. Good to have you here in the service. I'm glad you have come. And hope you enjoy being with us together in the midst of folks here at the home place. It's good to have one of our missionaries here with us tonight, Brother Gary Bird. Gary Bird serves in the Dominican Republic, and we've probably supported you now for what, 5 or 6 years?
5 years.
5 years. So, Gary, I'm going to ask you if you come and give us a personal update, of course, but we are rather involved in the ministry in the Dominican Republic that encompasses about, I think, 3 missionaries, missionary families we support. And then there are more families than that are part of the team that work there. But from everything Gary has shared with me already, the Lord is just blessing in a wonderful way. And, of course, in his own life personally, and I'll let him share that with us tonight.
Well, let me begin with what I've been wanting to say for a while. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouraging words. Thanks for caring about the Dominican Republic and for caring about our family, and thank you for your sacrifice, and you folks give so that we can do what we love to do. If you read our prayer letters, and I'm really impressed with your monitor back there, if you read our prayer letters, I try to always sign it, Living the Dream, because I've wanted to be a missionary for a long, long time, and we are having a great time. Love what we do, and we are part of a team down there in the Dominican Republic with Daystar Baptist Missions. There are six mission families in San Pedro. Well, now there's five because we've moved to a new city. You do support the Griffins, just as I understand. And we have a number of different ministries going on there that are really exploding. We have our Palms Christian School. My wife taught there for 4.5 years while we first got there. And our school is up over 400 students now. And there's a waiting list every year. And we're adding a grade every year. And what's really neat is we're right beside the biggest and best Catholic school in the city. And as you know, the Dominican Republic is staunchly Catholic. And in the beginning, they didn't mess with us. They were happy for us to be there. But now as our church grows and the reputation, our school grows and the reputation grows, we're starting to get more and more visits from the government that they're sending our way. And that's okay. It's a good problem. And we're excited about what God's doing. We're seeing kids saved every year. Our property, we own 46 acres outside of town where we're building. We have a Mercy Ladies Home for women that are trying to recover from addiction. And a part of our ladies' outreach ministry to women on the street as well. We have a big problem with prostitution and trafficking in the Dominican. And so we have a ministry reaching those women as well. And then have our baseball ministry out there. And that's, we just got our first field done and our dugouts up. And they got the nice thatched roof. So it looks very Dominican, very Caribbean. It's a neat place to be. And a lot of things going on out there as we continue to grow. We plan on putting our high school out there and a Bible college / seminary in the coming years, as well as some orphanages, boys' home, girls' home type of thing. So there's a lot going on with the team. God's really blessing the church there. Iglesia Bautista Evangelica de Margarita is growing as well. We're seeing families saved, and it's exciting to see. Because we no longer go to that church, we've been involved in church plant. It's exciting for me to go back and visit and not know anybody. And there's so many folks that come to the church. And so it's an exciting time for us in the Dominican Republic. Personally, our family is just moved. In fact, a week and a half ago, we loaded up everything we owned, which was surprisingly a lot. You know, we sold everything 4.5 years ago and took 14 suitcases with us to the Dominican Republic. That's all we had. And it's amazing how much you accumulate in 4.5 years. And I promised my wife, we're never doing this again. And I didn't mean accumulate, I meant move. We're never moving again. But we're excited to be in La Vega. We took over a church that we were asked to come and lead a church that had been without a pastor for 18 months. And they went from a church of about 170 down to about 20. And but God is resurrecting the church and doing a great work there. You're going to see a video here. And I'm going to give a disclaimer to begin with. I'm not a techno guy. I put this together. It's got some music to it. If it doesn't work right, I'm sorry. You don't pay me. You don't support me to do technological stuff. I'm much better at discipleship and winning people to Jesus. So I'm going to give a disclaimer. But you're going to see some neat pictures in there, pictures of our baseball ministry. And I'm going to come back afterwards and tell you a little bit about some of the stories that are involved there. Okay? All right, brother, could you... Yeah. sorry because you don't really know that story, but we have spent the first 4 years in San Pedro working with our team there, and we're involved in various ministries. My wife taught in our Christian school, and you saw some pictures there of her. In fact, the one picture there at the end when she was had her arm around a young man and my daughter in front of her, that was a kid named Guillermo who was a rascal of all rascals. I don't know if you have any teachers in here, but if you ever had a child in your class that just loved to get in trouble and just was surly and ornery, and the more you tried to help him, the worse attitude you had, that was Guillermo. And he comes from a home that's really, really hard. His dad not around. His mom doesn't really care. And Tamen's just, she told me after about a month, she says, I'm not letting that kid win. I'm going to love that kid till he loves Jesus. And she did. Kid came to Christ about a year later. And his countenance is completely different. He's a happy child. It's amazing the difference Jesus makes. You saw some pictures of our baseball ministry. And that's up in the town of Roman, Santana, where we had a church plant. And the Lord just kind of led me down to meet the baseball coach in town. I played baseball at Tennessee Temple many, many pounds ago. And I was skinny back in the day. And God led me down the baseball field. I met the baseball coach and began helping him a little bit with young people. And he asked me to come during the mornings and help him with practice. And they had some older guys. And these are kids that are trying to get signed to play professional baseball. So I came, and through an interesting story, I ended up, the coach asked me to stay around and help. And the coach, you might have seen a guy with sunglasses on and kind of a stern look, standing with my arm around next to him. His name was Carlos Juan. Carlos Juan's a former Major League Baseball coach with the Orioles for 30 years, a scout, and just a really hard dude. And I had been there for about 2.5 months, just hitting ground balls, picking up equipment, inviting kids to church. And I showed up one Monday morning. He said, hey, I need your help. And I said, sure, Carlos, what do you need? He said, do you remember Andino? And it was one of the assistant coaches. I said, yeah. He said, he murdered his wife Saturday night. I said, what? He said, yeah, they were drinking, they got in a fight, he beat her to death, and that was just the beginning. Really horrific stuff. And the whole town, of about 12,000 people, he said, everybody's all upset. These kids look up to this coach, and they don't know what to think. And he said, Gary, you've been coming for 3 months, and I don't pay you a nickel to come help us. I know you're a good guy. Would you come once a week and talk to our kids about how to be a good person, how to have a good family, how to make good decisions? And then he said this. He said, you can use the Bible. You can do whatever you want. I said, well, let me pray. No, I said, sure. I'd be thrilled. And see, I'd been praying for an open door. And to be honest with you, I didn't see anything coming before this moment. And through that, I became kind of the chaplain there and started having devotions every Monday morning. And through that, we've seen over 15 of those high school kids come to Christ. Amen. And all of the coaches now are believers. Amen. And every day before practice, they have a devotion. And you saw a picture at the end there of the same guy, Carlos, without the hat, without the sunglasses, with a smile on his face, holding a Bible. Because sometimes now he leads a devotion. And we're excited because now we have a ministry going forward without an American leading it. And Dominicans are taking that and going forward. And so I'm excited about that. You saw pictures of our new church in La Vega. And we moved up there. The church had lost their pastor. I've been without a pastor for 18 months. They asked me to come, and my wife, and so we went up there. And at first, we had to drive up there every weekend, and I would drive up on Wednesdays because my wife was still teaching, and we didn't have anybody take her classes. So I drove up and back every weekend for 6 months, about 250 miles round trip. And my kids were troopers, and we finally got to move last week. We have a group of young adults that are really serious about their faith. And, you know, God called me. God's call on my life is 2 Timothy 2:2. When Paul wrote to Timothy, in the last book that Paul ever wrote, he said, unto Timothy, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God's called me and Tammy and I, to train spiritual leaders. And we're in a great place. La Vega is a town of about 330,000 or so, three universities. Our church plant was in a real small agricultural town, really a hard town, uneducated people. Really hard to train leaders in that kind of environment, but it was good church plant experience for me. Now we're in La Vega, And we're excited about the opportunities. We are really trying to focus hard on discipleship. And two Sundays ago, I preached a message on discipleship, and I walked him into our new building that you saw the pictures of. And we stood inside, and people were crying. Couldn't believe the change, what God had done, how God had provided for us. And I said, you know, we got to build this. We got to fill this building. And we're going to do it one person at a time, one soul at a time. And I said, well, who here will commit to pursuing God and become a disciple, to be discipled? And who of you will commit that I will disciple somebody else? I said, because if you're going to be a disciple, you have to do what Jesus did. And he made disciples. And we had 16, only 30 in attendance that day. We had 16 adults write down their name on a piece of paper and say, I want to be a disciple. And we had 8 others say, I want to be involved in discipling others. And what was really neat to me was 3 of the 8 that said, I want to disciple others, also said, hey, I want to continue growing in the faith. I want to keep being a disciple. And so I'm here right now. I left this morning, left my house at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're here for 5 weeks. But I can't wait to get back and dig in and see what God's going to do with La Vega. Our goal is to stabilize that church, grow that church, so then we can plant other churches in La Vega, and we can see God transform that city for his glory. Please pray for us. You saw our building project. I showed you the Mormon church and the Catholic church. They sit one beside us and one across the street. And then you have the Baptist church, which was a construction project for 2.5 years. And God's done some great things in the last month, providing some money. We're still short a little bit of money that we need to put some electricity in and to buy some chairs. But just pray that God will provide it in his time, whatever his timing is. And then pray for our couples retreats. We've seen the Dominican home, and I'll wrap up with this. I know I've said a lot. Please forgive me. It's common and even expected for a man to have a wife or two wives and two women on the side and have families with all of them, kids with all of them. And that's just commonplace. And if we're going to see God transform that country, we've got to start in the homes. And we've got to see marriages transformed. People understand what biblical marriage is. So we started these marriage conferences our first year. And last year we had 33 couples come. And so we're trying to raise about $5,000 so that we can subsidize and help more couples be able to afford to come and take away for 3 days, 2 nights. Dominican couples don't take vacation. They don't go away from their kids. It's a big deal. But I'm sure some of you have been on couples retreats, and you know the power of just getting away, like camp. A couples retreat is camp for adults, camp for couples. And so if you would just pray about those things, we would greatly appreciate that. And I'd be encouraged because God's doing great things in the Dominican Republic. Thank you, folks, so much. Pastor. Hey.
Gary, if you would, let me ask a couple questions. Whoever's doing the video, can you go back and show pictures? Can you back up to some pictures? Okay. And I want just to kind of spot along through the pictures. Music's a little edgy for us.
I'm sorry. Okay. It's a little louder than I want it to be.
But if you... that's at the beginning, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That's
Can we get all the way to the end?
Go
all
to
the way to the yeah. back end. Yeah, let's go to the back and then start backwards. Okay. I want you to see the building that he's talking about. Yeah, now go forward.
It'll be the next slide. There's a bunch of pictures. There you go. That's the Mormon church.
That's the Mormon church.
And just play through that. That's
There's the Catholic church. Now, can you pause it right there?
No.
You can't? Okay. This is what it looked like?
Yes, sir. Just walls.
This was just walls.
Tree growing inside.
Yeah. That's what it was. Now, what they've done, they've worked, and they've gone into that thing, and they've put a roof on it. So now it has a roof on it, right?
Yes, sir. It's a beautiful roof.
And beautiful roof, and now they're going to pour the concrete.
We have concrete floor now.
Have the concrete floor now. Now they're going to have to get some electricity and that kind of thing. Now, you're not raising money for this.
No, sir. That's done. That's paid for. We received some gifts through the
world. But, I mean, the electricity is paid for. Now, I'm going to ask you this.
No, I'm sorry. The electricity is not paid for.
Electricity is not paid for.
Yes, sir.
It'll be a nice-looking building. Look what God's doing. It does look like a good roof, doesn't it?
It's the only blue roof in town. Everybody knows we're the church with the blue roof, and that's why we picked it. We wanted to stand out.
I got to ask this, though. It's a little awkward.
Yes.
I got to ask this, but I ask missionaries this. This work that's done there, is there Dominican money in that?
You know, sir, at this point, no. When it was in the past, the church before when it used to be a church of about 170, and there was doctors and lawyers and professionals in the church. But then the pastor and his wife, to be honest with you, had marital problems, and they left and they got a divorce. And the church just bottomed out, went without a pastor for so long. And when I took over...
Was it American?
It was an American.
An American, yeah.
And so when I took over, when they called me to come, there was only 20, and most of those are college kids, and a few very poor ladies. So right now, we were given a gift of $25,000 at Christmas time to help us get the roof on and get the floor poured and get the windows and doors in. Our goal, the reason why I showed you the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church is because if we're going to reach professionals in that city and be able to plant other churches and other bars, with Dominican money, we've got to reach professionals. And they're not going to come and walk through a construction zone to go to church. They just won't. Dominicans are very much about face and about appearance and about, position, title. And so, my goal and our plan going forward is everything we plant going forward would be Dominican money. I be honest with you, Pastor, I wrote a letter back in November asking for help, and I didn't want to write the letter. Because I really believe if we're going to reach the country, Dominicans have got to reach Dominicans. And that's my heart. And I had counsel from three other pastors, two of them four missionaries, said, Gary, you've got to let your churches know you need money. They want to help. And so I reluctantly wrote a letter. And we're so thankful for the gifts we've gotten so far and God's provided. We want to plant churches going forward out of our church there. We want to reach the world from the Dominican.
Do you have seats, platform, pulpit? What kind of furniture do you have for the place?
Right now we have about 40 old breaking plastic chairs that have survived through the moves. So we need to buy chairs.
Are they available in country?
Yes, sir. We can get nice chairs for about, someone told me, a church nearby told me they got their nice chairs for about $18 to $20 a piece.
What happened to the chairs whenever they were running 170?
I'm sorry?
Oh,
that's a great question. When the pastor left, I mean, he preached one Sunday morning, and then Monday he was gone. And he didn't tell anybody. And there was a lot of people, that obviously, that were hurt. Imagine if tomorrow Brother John's gone. And to be honest, and I don't like to criticize, but I don't believe the brother before me set up the church the right way. A lot of that church existed on he had guys that he was paying as staff members out of his own support. And all of a sudden he's gone. These kids don't have, they were counting on that money. And all of a sudden that's gone. Nobody has answers. And it was a very hard time. So the church just kind of dwindled. They already started the construction project. They were meeting in another building. They couldn't afford the rent. So they were bouncing around different places. Stuff got moved and left and stored in different people's homes, different places. And all of a sudden, a lot of that, you know how that happens. It's gone. And so now we're left with a lot of broken pieces. If you've ever been a part of a Christian school when they move, you know what happens. Stuff, I'll pitch this, and it gets broken. And that's where we're at right now.
Let's buy them 100 chairs. What do you say?
Amen.
Couldn't we do that? Couldn't we do it? Wouldn't that be good? Brother Tom, you make a motion for that? You move that we do that? That'd be $1,800, right?
More or less, yes, sir. That'd be fine.
$1,800 be enough?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Let's make it $2,000 then. Okay. We'll round it up to $2,000. Is there a second to that motion? Don, Mission Committee wouldn't have any problem with that, would you? I thought you'd probably shake your head. No, you wouldn't have a problem with that.
Thank you.
Let's do that. All in favor of doing that, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, we'll do that. That's sadly, too frequently it happens. And Our testimony as Americans going to minister in other countries is, you know, it's not just because we're Americans. That happens because we're just sinners saved by grace, and sometimes we revert to that kind of junk. But our prayers are with you and our prayers are for you. What we give tonight we'll give toward your ministry personally, and our offering will go to Brother Byrd. But have you enjoyed having him here with us tonight?
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, folks.
And how much is it per couple? You were saying something about a retreat.
Yes, sir. We our couples run about $250 per couple. So we're trying to, we take them to a nice resort, and for 2 days, then we have, they get great Bible preaching and teaching on marriage. They're about $250 a piece. And so we're trying to subsidize and cut that down, maybe cut it in half for the couples, and be able to offer more couples to be able to go.
Let's do a couple too, okay? Everybody in agreement to do a couple?
Yeah.
So we'll do a couple. We'll take a couple also. All right.
You.
Amen. God bless you, Gary.
God bless you.
Amen.
Love
God
you
bless folks. You. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Well, that's who we are. And that's what it's all about. And God brings folks to us and needs come. And what you give tonight will go directly to Brother Byrd and his family. I thank for what God is doing in his life and through them there in the Dominican Republic. And it's a great ministry. I've been down there and seen it, the place they have, the school. I went to the building with the people whenever they were learning, looking to move the school into that building, and visited out at the 46 acres when they were trying to get, some of you remember when we were trying to raise money to get the wall around that property. And because if you don't have a wall around it, people can come in and claim part of it. And they just establish themselves on it and say, this is ours, and it no longer belongs to you until you get the wall around it. And so it's a unique situation, but they got that done, and everything's moving along well. And so that's very good, very good. And we thank God for you. Well, let's stand together. We got a song to sing. What is the song we're going to sing? Huh? Seek ye first. Matthew 6:33. Let's stand together. If you know the verse, sing the verse with me, all right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. All right, we'll sing the chorus whenever we get to it in a little while, but the alleluias. But I want you to shake hands, greet those around you, welcome one another to the service. Meet Brother Byrd if you haven't met him before. Encourage his heart and tell him to hang in there and do good. Thank you so much. You may be seated whenever you find your place. Remember in the morning all the things that are going on around here as far as cleaning of the church. And if you can be here and help with that, that would be such a blessing. You say, well, I don't know what I could do. But if you could be here in the mornings on Saturday, on Friday mornings, and clean and work outside, the financial blessing that is to the church and the blessing that is to the appearance of the church, what a wonderful thing it is. And so I hope that you'll do that. Ushers, come forward. Brother Mark, if you have other announcements, well, let us know.
A week from tomorrow is the big concert, and we'll move the grand out here, and it'll be a big event. So plan on, if you have somewhere you could put up a poster, let us know. We have those posters there on the doors about the concert. And, you know, something like this is a musical event, but it's also an evangelistic opportunity. People might come to something like this, but they wouldn't come to a church service, per se. This could be their introduction to our church. So it might be someone who's a pianist, you know, who has played years ago and have great interest in hearing Mrs. Reynolds as she plays. So pass the word and spread it as an opportunity. And be in Sunday school this Sunday. Find a class somewhere. You ought to be in a class receiving the Word of God. And so I encourage you, we have a class for every age group, children all the way from the nursery, all the way up, teenage, college career, and all of that, adult classes. So 9 a.m., be in Sunday school. Don't shortchange yourself. Amen? All right, God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. I got back from Knoxville. I think I got home about 3:45 this morning. And I'm too old for that kind of stuff. I'll just tell you, by the time I got home, Aaron drove the last leg from about the Florida-Georgia line, and I don't remember anything from there in except being miserable trying to get comfortable. And I'm too old for that kind of thing. But while I was gone, I spent all of my money, Dale, so you or Tom or somebody's going to have to put me some money in, and however much you got. Who's got some money? Tom, you got money? Tom's got money over here. How much money you got? Oh, here. Dale's got money. No, I'm going to have more than that. I'm going to have more than that, Dale. I'm going to have more than that. Come on. I got to have more than that. This is yours. You put that in. Okay?
Come on, Tom. You know,
sir,
not on the front. What do you want?
Yeah, Jim's out of town. Jim's gone to graduate. Give me that 20 there. That's fine. Okay. Let's give a good offering to him. Let's give him a good offering. The family coming in, too, for 5 weeks? You got a son graduating from college? That's big money. Okay. All right. Father, bless the Bird family, I pray. I pray that you'll continue to bless them and use them. And as you already have, Father, I pray you'll do something that's so great that the only one that can get any credit for it is you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Kenny Gogan comes to sing, we had the pictures of Cassie Fleming up on the screen, and that reminded us that Martha Quayle was so impressed with what God's doing in her ministry that she requested, and Brother Fred requested, that if you want to give something in memory of Martha Quayle, to give it in memory through the ministry there that Cassie Fleming is having on the mission field. And so you can make that check and give it to the church and put it 2 and 4, her ministry, Cassie Fleming. God bless you. Wonderful song with this emphasis. Follow me.
I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say. I sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but lost. My hands were nailed in anger upon the cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love had mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Amen. What a great song. Well thought through song. Well written. And statements of commitment to following the Lord are right there. Well, we have a few minutes. Let's look at the crown of life. The crown of life. We have looked. I'm sorry, yeah, the crown of life, the martyr's crown, in James chapter 1, verse 12. Let me see here. Our son Alan and Gary Bird were in school together. And so we have, I have a special place in my heart for Gary, because he has a special place in the heart of my son Alan. And you have a couple of packages at the office that were shipped here that you don't need to leave without. Okay? All right. I wanted to be sure that we remembered that. And the only way I know to be sure to remember that is to say it when I think of it. Because if I let it go and remember it later, that may not happen. So we come to James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, whenever he's talking about enduring temptation, and we'll get to this whenever we come to deal with the word enduring, it's a very good word. Enduring temptation. Now, that's not talking about driving down the road and seeing pictures of people drinking and and partying and all that kind of stuff up on a billboard and you're tempted to that. It's not talking about that right there. It's talking about going through testings. Now, that may be a test in your life, but it's not just that. It's going through testings and trials and tribulations and difficulties. Because when he's tried, when you're tried, when you're put through that trial, ye shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And the Word of God says to the church that was suffering in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, tested. I think if that were to happen to most of us, we're not going to do too well with that. We're too wimpy. We're too soft. We're too comfortable. We want it nice. We want it just everything convenient. I was thinking as Brother Bird was talking about the churches there, the Mormon church and the Catholic church, all looking at each other, and here's the little Baptist church over here. But it's not about buildings. And people looking for reality come to realize at some point, in the Old Testament, you know, God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, he has his people for his temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? We're his temple. And what a beautiful thing it is. Though this is a nice building, this is by no means an elaborate building. It's not designed to be an elaborate building. It's designed to be a functional building, and yet I don't think any of us are embarrassed to bring our friends into the building. I don't think it's that kind of a building that we would apologize for that it's not nicer. But it's not high steeple and stained glass windows and all those kinds of elaborate chandeliers and all those kinds of things. Now, I like those things if that's how the Lord leads you to do it and provides the funds to do it and everything like that this week. Where I preach Sunday, those of you that saw that building is an elaborate building. It's an elaborate building. I mean, in the ceiling there are six huge chandeliers that have to be 10 feet across, I mean, at least. And it's a massive thing and beautifully colored and decorative all the way around. And it's a beautiful place, and I like that. I like that. I enjoy that. Whenever I get there, you know, I feel like I'm in tall cotton. You know, I feel like I'm out of place. You know, it doesn't quite fit me, but I enjoy it. I enjoy it. But I like more than the building. I like the people that are in the building. I'm so impressed with a lot of churches. Whenever we go to Israel, we go to a lot of churches, and the churches are designed for one thing. They're designed to be looked at. That's their function. They don't function to get the gospel out. They don't function for people to learn the Word of God. They don't function for people to come to know Christ or to grow in Christ. They're just to look at. And some of them are very pleasant to look at. And some of them are outstanding to sing in. And we enjoy that. But I'm afraid that if it comes to this thing, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And I don't know that we're ready to pass that test. Maybe if that it's amazing how the grace of God comes to us when we need that. And perhaps if it came to that, If it came to that in this country next year, maybe next year we'll be in the place. We'll be in the place where we'll say, yeah, I will do that. That's, if that's what it takes, that's what's going to happen. Okay, you go to prison for your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're probably going to lose your job. That means you're probably going to lose your house. That means your security is going to be gone. That means you're going to live hand to mouth day by day. And I don't know that we're ready for that, but maybe when the time comes, as the people at Smyrna were, so we will be also. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 12, he's promised the crown of life to them that endure this trying, this temptation. And the Lord has promised that crown of life to them that love him. It seems like enduring these trials has something to do with loving the Lord. They're tied together. And to the people at Smyrna, the church there in Revelation chapter 2, it says, be thou faithful to death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Now, he's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about that. You don't be faithful to death to get to go to heaven. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior to go to heaven. So he's not talking about that. He's talking about going through this difficult thing. Now, trials and testing should not seem strange to us. The Word of God says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Fiery trial. The intense trial that shall try some of you. Don't think that strange. We say, wow, that's really weird. We see what's happening now. And in some of the countries where ISIS is operating with openness and massive, they're finding graves of massive beheadings. And the reason for that is because they claim to be Christians. And we say, that's really weird. To me, it's weird. But yet the Word of God says, think it not strange. Why should we think the world will love us if we're like Jesus? The world did not like him. Religion did not like him. Think it not strange. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, in this matter of trials and testings, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's the testings that he's talking about. And he makes it very clear in verse 7 when he says that the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith. Now, that's not the trial of the faith. It's not the faith once delivered to the saints. It's not the Christian faith. It's not the doctrines of the Word of God that are on trial. It's your faith that's on trial. Your faith, my faith, the trial of your faith. Now, I want you to see this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. We think of gold as a precious metal that does not decay, does not rust away. And they open up the tomb of King Tut, and there are all the gold things that are still there, that were buried with him, that hadn't been ransacked already by thieves that broke in, grave diggers, and so forth like that. And we think gold is permanent, but compared to the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Gold that just perishes. Though it be tried with fire. In other words, this gold has been purified. But it's still, compared to the beauty of the testing of your faith and what it produces, the testing of your faith, more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to keep focus on the future. We have a focus on now. What's affecting me right now? And the things that, and there's no doubt, the things that are affecting me now affect me now. But never lose sight of the future. Never lose sight of eternity. Live with eternity's values in view. I used to ask young people this a lot. If you were to die right now, at this moment, boom, what do you have you will still have after you're dead? What do you have that you'll still have after you die? Those are the precious eternal things that are unto the praise and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now back in James chapter 1 verse 2. In James chapter 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy. Now, that's a strange thing, isn't it? Count it all joy. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. One of the three times that the word Christian is used in the Bible, the word Christian in our authorized version is used three times in the Bible. This is the third time that it's used. The other two are in the book of Acts. And here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian. Now there it's talking about the Christian faith and the faith that we have in Christ. If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed of that. Now if you suffer as a thief, be ashamed of that. If you suffer as someone who left a church like the church there was left that Brother Bird was talking to us about, if you suffer because of that, be ashamed of that. But if you suffer for your testimony for Christ, don't be ashamed of that. There's people all over this world, in countries all over this world, that suffer for no other reason. They don't suffer because they're guilty of some crime as far as stealing something or doing harming someone or breaking the law. They simply suffer because they're Christians. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And we looked in verse 12. We looked in verse 12 of this same chapter. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In this verse about the crown of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I had no idea. This is not long enough. I'm 5 minutes past time I'm supposed to quit. And I didn't realize that. We're going to pick up endure next time, okay? We'll get back to endure next time. I'm sorry. I apologize. The kids are probably running loose out there somewhere. I don't know where they are. But you'll find them, and they'll come back, and they'll get out there in the dark and get scared, and they'll come back. All right? All right, let's stand together. Lord, I pray, oh, whenever it comes in this country, and Lord, unless you come, it's coming. And whenever it comes in this country, if it's in my lifetime, give me the courage to stand. If it's in the lifetime of my kids, give them the courage to stand. They're old enough now to stand, Lord. They're old enough to know how to do that. They're old enough to stand without shame, humbly before you and before those that would do them wrong because of their testimony for Christ. I pray for their courage. Lord, I pray for my grandkids that would not really know what was happening. They wouldn't really understand it. And great-grandkids, Lord, wouldn't really know what's happening. Wouldn't really understand it. Some of the grandkids are old enough. But Lord, I pray that you'll be with all of us and help us to live with eternity's values in view. And Father, whenever the testing comes and the trial comes, I pray, Lord, we will not be found faithless, but we'll be found true. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother Bird, thank you for being here. If you didn't get to shake hands with Brother Bird earlier, well, work your way around and meet him and say hey to him and get to know a little bit about more about the ministry there in the Dominican.